to celebrate our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to honor Him in His love and His mercy and His grace upon us and all that He does for us. I have been talking with you about questions that God has asked of His creation. I'm going to continue with that again today. I have at least one more after today that I'll be doing with you. But today we are going to be reading from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'm going to ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word, and I will begin reading in verse number 8. John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 8. And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Father, we thank you again for this day, for your grace and your mercy upon us. Lord, you have loved us when we were not worthy. You love us still when we are not worthy. You came and you gave yourself a sacrifice to save us from sin and to give us hope and the joy of life and life yet to come. And Father, we thank you for so great a love. And we praise you that you have spoken and called to us and have opened our ears to hear. Father, I pray that all of our ears are opened and all of our eyes are opened so that we can see and we can hear and our hearts are opened to receive the truth of your love and of your majesty. And Father, we ask it even now in this time to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Last week, again, I had talked to you about the question Jesus was teaching to the Pharisees and to the religious crowds and others that were standing around, and they just could not understand his words. They wouldn't accept his words, is what was really the problem. They wouldn't accept his words. And you remember we did the responsive read-along, and I asked that you read the words that the crowds were speaking back to Jesus. "Abraham is our father. God is our father. We're not slaves to anyone." And Jesus kept responding to them, "If you are a slave to sin, you are a slave. And you're not free until you're freed by the Son. Only the Son can free us from sin." And they could not understand him. And that was his question to them. "Why don't you understand me?" And the answer was plain. "Because you are not of God. You are of your father, the devil. And he has been a liar from the beginning. And he is the father of lies. And he speaks of his own resources. But if you want to know who God is, look to Jesus, because he shows us and he teaches us and he speaks plainly to us if we will just hear." And in this moment, this morning, Jesus was communicating with the disciples, and he had just been talking with them about him going away, that he was preparing them for the crucifixion. And I love this. I just love this portion of scripture in John chapter 14. It begins by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you can be also. And if it were not so, I would have told you." And then he follows up in just a few more lines and he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Amen. And then Philip, like many of us in our life, said to Jesus, "Well, show us the Father and that'll be sufficient for us." And then the question, "Have I been with you for so long that you don't know who I am?" Has he been a part of our lives for so long? Has he answered so many of our prayers over all of the years that we have lived? Has he made himself real only for us to come to a point in our life where we stand before God and say, "Well, show us one more time and we will believe"? See, this is a question for all of us. The first question, when he was talking with the Pharisees and all of those, he says, "Why don't you understand me?" He was talking to people who just didn't believe. They didn't know him. They hadn't opened their eyes and their ears. They hadn't wanted to hear and see. They didn't want their hearts to be penetrated with the love of the Holy Spirit and the profound teaching of Jesus in that day. He was speaking a question to people who did not know him. But when he turns to the apostle, to the disciple, and when he says to Philip, "Have I been with you so long that you don't know who I am?" He's not talking to someone who doesn't know. He is speaking to one who should know him through and through for who he is. The same as he would ask us, as someone who should know who he is. How many of you know who Jesus is today? I want to tell you, Jesus is Lord and he is Savior. I share this. I tell people this. I have had people ask me, "Well, what do you mean?" I call him Lord and Savior. And they say, "What do you mean Lord and Savior?" Well, Lord identifies his positional authority. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And there is no name above the name of Jesus. And there never will be. Not in heaven or on earth or in anything to come. And he is Savior. And that identifies his compassionate authority. His legal authority is Lord. His compassionate authority is Savior. Because of his compassion and his love, he saves us from sin by sacrificing himself. He is Lord. And he is Savior. And he loves us. And he gives himself for us. And he watches over our lives. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will not abandon you." And sometimes in our lives we get to this moment like Philip and we say to him, "Well, show us a little bit more and we'll be satisfied." Has he been with us so long that we don't know who he is? It's communication, isn't it? We're just having a breakdown in communication. How many of you have ever had a breakdown in communicating with somebody? Amen. I'm not talking about those of you that are married, okay? I'm just talking about in general. Do you ever have a breakdown in communication? Yeah. Right? We have breakdowns in communication. What is communication? Communication is someone trying to impart information or an exchange of information. It could be someone talking to another. As I'm talking to you right now, I'm trying to impart information to you. And I hope that I'm communicating well so that you can understand. But it could also be an exchange of information between people. Sharing ideas. Don't you love to share ideas? Especially now, this is where it comes in with the spouse. You love to talk about vacation plans and things you want to do. And maybe you want to talk about retirement and what you hope to do. Ooh, I'd love to take an Alaskan cruise. Wouldn't you like to take an Alaskan cruise? No. Oh, that's not. All right, we're going to vote. How many in here would like to take an Alaskan cruise? Let's show a hand, right? Amen. How many don't? Okay, well, the majority wants to go to Alaska. So we're all going to go next summer together. Amen. communication, though, right? Communication, right? Communication. Sometimes we communicate well. Sometimes we don't communicate the truth. How many of you have watched people all their lives, have listened to them and heard them speak, and you have seen the way they have lived, and then you think you know who they are, and then all of a sudden you have one of those moments and something is revealed because they surprise us. And we say things like this: I can't believe that they would do such a thing. How many parents have watched children end up in prison doing things that they never thought they would see their child do? A neighbor, a friend. I grew up with people. I grew up with this young man. He and I were friends. We, you know, middle school, we did a lot together. High school, it wasn't as much together, but I joined the Navy after high school. I'm gone. You know, 10 years, I'm back. I come back. I find out he's in prison for murdering people. I can't believe he did this. What changed in his life? What changes in our life? What gets us to a point where we have those moments? Because when we communicate one thing, what we need to understand is that how we live it and show it communicates something totally different. Isn't that true? So what is it about Philip standing in the presence of Jesus, and he just told him, I'm going to prepare a place, and I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Well, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for us. What was Philip wanting to see anyway? Can I ask you that? What was Philip wanting to see? Maybe Philip had in mind an Old Testament image of a burning bush. Maybe he wanted to see a burning bush. Maybe he wanted to see a column of fire and of smoke just all of a sudden appear and start following everywhere Jesus went so that they could see. Maybe he had some idea that he needed to see water turn to blood like happened in Egypt. I don't know, what does that mean when we say to God, show us something and it will be sufficient? Do we have something in mind? Because Jesus didn't come to show that. Jesus came to reveal the glory of the kingdom of God, his Father. And he did it. He wasn't a burning a bush, but he was a shining light that stood among men and spoke the truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He didn't come as a burning bush, but he came as a shining light to the truth of who the Father was and what salvation was. And he showed the truth and the life of the Father in him when he turned the water to wine, not to blood. And when he healed the nobleman's son. And when he gave the blind man eyes to see. When he calmed the storm. And when he walked on the water. And where was Philip? Did he not have eyes to see and ears to hear that he would stand in the presence of Jesus and say, well, show us the Father and that will be sufficient? And God speaks to us through the Son the same way today in our lives. Have I been with you so long that you don't know me? When we walk without faith, when we walk without trust, when we walk like the world. Do you not know me? Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You've seen the Father. Listen to what he's speaking in John chapter 12. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And he told them plainly, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And Paul writes in Colossians, he says, he is the invisible image of the invisible God. I'm sorry, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. That which we say we can't see, but is right there for us to see in Christ, in his words, in his actions, in his daily walk with us, even in our lives today. You know that he's there. Unless you're running with the world. And then you might still know he's there. Sometimes he sounds like this. You better get back in this house. How many of you ever heard that as a kid when you were growing up? I told you not to do that. Now, he's never promised to come after me with a belt, and I am so thankful for that. Because that is one belt I don't think I would ever want to feel. How about you? But just the conviction of sin whelps enough, doesn't it? Have you ever seen God? I wonder if we think about how we have seen God. Because I think of ways that I have seen God in my life. Sitting in the woods, watching the sunrise. Oh, I might be out deer hunting or whatever it is, but sitting in the woods and watching the sunrise. What a beautiful sight it is to see the shadows creep away as the sun begins to enlighten what's all around me and I begin to see the things that are there. Have you ever sat under a shade tree during a hot summer day and saw the breeze blowing through the leaves and felt the cool of that as it touched your skin? Have you seen a butterfly fluttering around from flower to flower? Have you seen the flower? Have you seen God? Because he is in all of these things. And in all of these things, he is speaking to us. He says, look at the beauty in this. And all that this is, you are more than that. And all that this is, and all that it does to survive through my help and my assistance and through all that I do in this world to make sure it can survive, how much more I have given to you through my Son who loves you so. Have we not seen Jesus? Have we not experienced him? Even when the times are hard, How many of us can see that he is with us to help us and to be our strength in times of need? And wonder why he's there to help me when I'm not willing to help him in his time of need? And I might not have been born when he carried the cross, but how many of us, if we were standing there and watching this man so brutally beaten and mocked and spit upon, falling under the weight of the cross and the road, walking through Jerusalem, how many of us would have run to his aid? How many of us, when we see people in our own lives who are broken and poor and downhearted and downtrodden, and we walk right on by, even when we hear these words of Jesus, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. And inasmuch as you have not done it unto the least of these, you have not done it unto me." And in those statements, he's praising one and condemning another. He's praising the one, "Lord, when did we see you in need? When did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we?" He said, "Whenever you saw one like this and you helped them, you did it unto me." And to those that were being condemned, "When did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we walk by? Inasmuch as you didn't do it to any of those that you saw, you did not do it to me." Embrace or neglect. That's what that is, isn't it? I remember I asked you this question. We asked this question in a sermon we did a few weeks ago. Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace on this earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And he's talking about the sword of truth, which cuts deeper and through all of the bone and the marrow and deepest parts of our soul. It renders us useless when we fall under the punishment of God's word. Until we can find repentance and find that uplifting and that forgiveness and the joy of our life in him again. Until we can be what he wants us to be. And how can we be what he wants us to be if we are still choosing to embrace or to neglect? Simply put, that's what Philip was doing with this question, wasn't it? "Show us the Father. That'll be sufficient." He neglected the word of Christ for what he was saying in the moment. And that's how we have to live our lives as Christians every day. With the truth of God and who he is, with what he calls us to be, what he calls us to share, how he calls us to live, to walk in faith and to walk in trust and to walk in obedience, because we have our faith and trust in him. So when God asks that question of his creation, "Have I been with you so long that you don't know me?" That should make us stop and think about the times that God has been with us, and to remember what it looked like, and to remember the joy of the moment, the things that we have seen, and the things that we have experienced. Even those times when the weight of the world pressed us down, it is the oil that is produced by that pressing that helps to soothe the salves from our experience to another. Amen. God has given us a mission to be his people, to love him, to love each other as we love ourselves, to trust him, and to know that he is Believe me, he said in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works. And if in those moments you can't find that emotional point of joy in knowing the Father, then find it and make it alive again in those moments where you remember the works he has done in your life. There's the balance. When you don't feel the emotion, grab hold of the memory. And let the memory spark life in the emotion. Because how many of us, when we grab hold of an old memory, don't always find some emotional stirring about it? Something we enjoyed. Something we loved in the moment. Same with those moments we have with Christ. Remember and believe. Believe me because of my character. Believe me because of my words. And believe me because of my work. Or don't you know him? Isn't that the question? If you don't have those things to grab hold of, well then, do you know him? Because he has called us to know him. He has given himself so that we could know him. And he's pleading with all who will hear to come and to know him. And so that's the question that I close with today. Do you know him? Will you know him before this day is done? Jesus said, I give myself so that you can live. How many of us are still looking for life and have not turned to Christ yet to find it? I plead with you today to hear him and to turn to him, to repent of sins. Because yes, we have sins. And to find forgiveness, and to find salvation, and to find joy that comes through him. In Jesus alone. In Jesus alone. The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for grace and mercy. I thank you for the compassion of your love, for the joy of the life that you have given. And Lord, for this time that we have to celebrate, I pray, Father, that we have honored you in this time. I pray, Father, if there is one that does not know you, that they will find you and honor you in this time as well. And Lord, I ask this to your glory alone, in Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. Will you come?